Hello, everyone. Welcome to Upsize Your Leadership, the podcast about enhancing your effectiveness wherever you lead, whatever your role. My name is Mike Armour, President of Strategic Leadership Development International, which I founded in Dallas 25 years ago. I'm glad you joined us today. Today's program is especially relevant to people who lead or own small businesses and for people who provide consulting or advisory services for them. Even if you aren't involved in small businesses yourself, but have friends or family who are, what I'm sharing is information that you will want to tell them about. My podcast 2 weeks ago set a new high mark in terms of the number of people who reposted it or shared it with others. You may recall, I talked about the Corporate Transparency Act, which affects over 30 million small businesses. It requires these companies to file what's called a Beneficial Ownership Information Report or potentially face massive fines for failing to do so. Right now, the Corporate Transparency Act, or CTA as I'll refer to it, is in limbo because of a series of developments in court cases challenging its constitutionality. For small businesses, there's a lot at stake based on whether this law is allowed to stand. When I posted the podcast 2 weeks ago on December 27, we were waiting for a ruling from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The court was considering whether to continue a temporary restraining order imposed by a district court in Texas, which suspended enforcement of the law for the time being. I ended the podcast by promising to keep listeners up to date on court proceedings because there is minimal coverage of this case in conventional media. So with today's podcast, I'm following through with that promise. I want to share the course of court action since December 27, and I want to piggyback on this update by warning about scams related to the CTA, which are surfacing. If you own a small business or are thinking of starting one, today's program touches on information that you will find few places else. If you have friends or family who own a small business, you will want to share the contents of this episode with them. They need to know what's happening with the CTA because the courts could hurriedly put the law back in place, and with it, staggering fines for non-compliance. So, stand by. I'll be back in just a moment.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
2 weeks ago, I used this podcast to discuss a convoluted series of court developments which have major implications for American small businesses. This all revolves around a new federal law called the Corporate Transparency Act, or CTA. It's aimed at businesses with fewer than 21 employees and less than $5 million in annual revenue. If you're unfamiliar with the CTA, let me take a sentence or two to describe it. Under the law, companies are required to provide personal information to the U.S. Treasury Department on everyone with, quote-unquote, substantial control over major decisions in the company. This includes their full legal name, date of birth, current residential address, and a photocopy of the person's current driver's license or passport. In the future, whenever any of this information changes, a company has 30 days to report the change. The required information is provided to the Treasury Department through what is called a Beneficial Ownership Information Report, or BOI. Even though the report had a January 1, 2025 reporting deadline, with the threat of huge penalties for noncompliance, The law is currently in abeyance. In early December, a federal district court imposed a nationwide temporary restraining order on enforcement of the act until its constitutionality could be adjudicated in federal courts. In late December, a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the restraining order. As a result, the filing deadline for companies to file their BOI report has been suspended indefinitely. My prior podcast on these proceedings took us behind the scenes to look at the twists and turns this case took during the month of December. I won't try to recap that story here, but you can check it out in my podcast from December 27 at upsizeyourleadership.com/episodes. At the point that my podcast aired, a date had been set in March for the entire Fifth Circuit Court to review the decision by the three-judge panel. I concluded that podcast with a promise to update my listeners as major new developments unfolded. I also speculated in the podcast that the federal government would appeal to the Supreme Court to set the restraining order aside immediately without waiting for the Fifth Circuit's review. That indeed occurred on December 29. As you know, each justice on the Supreme Court is designated to facilitate appeals from specific circuit courts. In this case, Sam Alito is the assigned justice for the Fifth Circuit. Thus, the next move is currently in his hands. Justice Alito has asked both the government and the plaintiffs to file briefs with him by tomorrow, January 10. At that point, he has four options. First, he can dismiss the appeal outright, which would put the matter back in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. In that circumstance, the restraining order would remain in place while the Fifth Circuit conducts its full review. The Fifth Circuit Court has scheduled initial briefings on this issue for February 7th, with oral arguments to be heard March 25th. Justice Alito's second option is to lift the restraining order outright. That would preclude any further action by the Fifth Circuit and would have the effect of reinstating the CTA immediately. Businesses would once again be obligated to file the BOI report by whatever new deadline the court or the government sets. His third option is to lift the national enforcement of the restraining order, but leave it in place for the plaintiffs in the case. This is somewhat the way that a federal court in Alabama ruled in a similar case several months ago. In its petition to Justice Alito, the government is using that judge's ruling as a template for how the current case should be handled. The fourth option is for Justice Alito to refer the case to the full Supreme Court. Four justices would have to vote to hear the case, or the appeal would be dismissed. This would effectively leave the restraining order in force while the Fifth Circuit proceeds toward oral arguments in March. If that's not all confusing enough for you, let me add some additional variables. Short of a referral to the full court, the losing party will no doubt petition for a rehearing before the full court. Again, for the full court to take up the matter, four justices would have to agree to do so. Given the underlying constitutionality issue, it's reasonable to expect the court to hear the case, but that's not assured. In short, we have no way of knowing what the next chapter will be. We do know that the Fifth Circuit is treating this matter on an expedited basis, and the Supreme Court has been asked to follow suit. Indications are that Justice Alito will adhere to that request. If he does, we might know his decision as early as Monday, January 13. In fact, most informed court observers expect his decision on that date. Then it's a matter of wait and see to know what happens next. What does all this mean for the millions of small businesses, over 20 million of them, who have not complied with the filing requirement? If the restraining order is lifted at any point in this process, these companies would immediately be responsible for filing. Either the courts or the Treasury Department would have to establish a new filing deadline, since the restraining order has delayed filings well beyond the date previously established. Now, a word to all of you for whom this entire matter is new. Maybe you have known little or nothing about the Beneficial Ownership Information Report before now. Or perhaps you had heard of the report, but were unaware of the court activities surrounding it. Don't feel the least apologetic for having known so little. One of the major issues surrounding this law has been how ineffectively its requirements have been communicated to the small business community, and broadcast media have all but ignored the court proceedings. The reason that I'm so aware of what's going on is that I've been directly engaged with the law for nearly a year. I'm one of two principals in a company called Compliance BOI, which was created to provide a very simplified, user-friendly online process for filing the report. My partner and I have therefore been buried in the nuances of this law for months on end, and we are following the course of court developments related to the CTA on a day-by-day basis. Even though the enforcement of the law is currently on hold, our website remains active and is being kept up to date. It's one of the most informative sites on the web for people who want to learn more about the Beneficial Ownership Information Report or to remain current on the legal proceedings surrounding it. You can check out the website at www.compliancebOI.com. We are providing continual updates on these proceedings because they get so little coverage in the conventional press. In fact, the CTA itself has had such meager media attention that, according to the government's own surveys, the majority of companies affected by it are still unaware that it exists. Awareness did jump notably around mid-November of 2024, when CPAs and law firms began alerting clients about the impending deadline for filing on January 1, 2025. Awareness made an even bigger jump when the temporary restraining order was issued on December 2nd. That development did manage to grab a few headlines. On a routine basis, however, I encounter small business owners who either have no knowledge of the Corporate Transparency Act or who have completely outdated information as to whether or not it is currently in effect. One reason that I'm committed to updates like the one in this podcast is because I see a genuine threat that, with all of the confusion and inaccurate information surrounding the CTA, many small business owners may be victimized by scams which defraud them. The scammers have been at work for some time, and they are not letting up just because courts have suspended enforcement of the CTA. Just this week, I saw the most egregious scam that I've come across to date. Apparently, it has been around for a while because it was the subject of scam alerts as early as last April. And in December, the Treasury Department put out a rather thorough description of it. But this was my first time to actually see it. It's a form designed to look very much like those that you might file with your income tax. Same fonts, same typeface, same overall appearance, including a barcode marked for internal use only. It even has a government form number in the upper left corner, as is common on many types of government documents. The form seems to be morphing over time, perhaps in response to fraud alerts. The form that I saw had the number 5102 and a revision date of 12/19/24, which, curiously, is one day after the Treasury Department issued a fraud alert that described the fake form as having the number 4022. The limited instructions on the form underscore the requirement to file and stress the fines and potential prison sentence for noncompliance. The instructions are terribly incomplete and even misleading, and the fields on the form itself do not capture all the information required by the genuine beneficial ownership report. The document implies that there is a mandatory filing fee, in this case $119, and requires payment by check or money order. This is a clear giveaway that the document is fraudulent, since filing the BOI report directly with the government does not incur a charge. With our detailed knowledge of the Beneficial Ownership Information Report, my partner and I immediately recognized the document as fraudulent. But we both had admitted that without our expertise regarding the report, we could have initially seen it as legitimate. Schemes like this steal a purported mandatory filing fee from business owners and give them the false security of thinking that they have complied with the CTA regulations. But worse, they compromise private information about every individual in the company who has substantial control of major financial, operational, or marketing decisions. Can you imagine how valuable that information is for people who harvest personal information for use on the dark web? My concern is that the conditions are ripe for scams like this to proliferate. In the event that the courts lift the restraining order, a new deadline will go into effect, and with it an intensified government campaign to make people aware that the law is once more in force. That round of publicity will result in vast numbers of companies finally hearing about this law and sensing urgency to comply. In their rush to find someone to file for them, and with limited knowledge of the law itself, they will be particularly susceptible to this type of fraud. That's why I'm spreading the word to be on the watch for scams like this. Of course, someone might say, "Why are you devoting so much time to this if the law is on hold?" Because it can come off of hold with one stroke of a judge's pen. That happened once already on December 23rd. And if the law does become reinstated, the government has already demonstrated that it will kick into high gear immediately to start enforcing it. The scammers will see such a moment as abounding in opportunities to ensnare business owners in their fraud. Besides, even though the law is presently in abeyance, we know from firsthand experience that business owners in droves are unaware of either the law or its status. Regardless of whether the restraining order stays in place, they will be susceptible to deceptive representations like those I've just described. Let me close, therefore, by assuring you that I will keep my listeners up to date as court proceedings unfold. Because it is so consequential, I will provide at least a short update once Justice Alito issues his decision. A PDF copy of this podcast is available at upsizeyourleadership.com/episodes. Find this program and click on the link to download scripts. Let me also suggest that you think about friends or family who own a small business. Do them a favor. Share this podcast with them so that they will have the latest information. Or repost it on your social media accounts. By this time next week, we should know what the Supreme Court will do with this case. If we do, I will share that update in my next podcast. Until then, find some way every day to upsize your leadership.